Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I just want you to know that for my entire life, every time I went to the Lord, it was always the gentle, loving, kind Jesus. And in the last month and a half, there is fire in his eyes, and I'm a little scared. So if he manifests, I'm out. Just know. I want to talk about what do you do under pressure. And that's not something as the church we talk about a lot, but when you're under pressure and you're under extreme pressure, we got to know what to do with that. We got to know hand-to-hand what faith looks like in the middle of that. I'd like to read for you Revelation 12. It is the crescendo of the end of the end. Now a war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And he was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God." My point in reading that is the very last line. He presently accuses you day and night before God. And when that is the crescendo for our own lives, there's this little microcosm of the battle that rages in heaven over our own lives. And it says that in 1 Peter, "Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a lion, seeking whom he may devour." He wants to eat you alive. I love the Bible. I love reading the Word because for me, I look at it relationally. Every story, I want to know their relationship with God and all their failures, all their triumphs, how they navigated it, because he didn't put it in there by accident. The first one I want to talk about under pressure is obviously going to be Job. I'm just saying. Here it is, a man, God even says, even God said, there is none like him on the earth, blameless, an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So what happened to Job was not about Job. And the Lord says to Satan, "Behold, all that is he has is in your hands. Only against him do not stretch your hand." So Satan goes out and he unleashes. Shortly after that, all of his livestock gets wiped out and stolen. And then the servants that were watching are all killed. And the one comes up to tell Job what has happened, and he tells him all this calamity has happened. And then another one comes and says, "Oh, by the way, your entire family was feasting. A whirlwind came up and the roof fell down and crushed everybody, and they're all dead. Everybody in your family." Yeah. Now, I think that's enough. That's a bad day. That's getting devoured. But God didn't say, "Okay, that's good enough." He didn't lift his hand. He didn't put his hand forward. Job's reaction to his children being killed is Job tore his clothes, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. All right. Under that, let me do that. Let me have that humble, that great of a heart for God. Then in the greatest opposition, that's how I respond. And then we're not done. Every single person that was significant in his life came to tell him why this was happening to him. They all had an opinion. They all came with their accusations. They all came with all of the reasons why you're such a bad person. And you know what? That wasn't enough. His body then shells out, and he's sick, and he's covered with sores, and he's on the ground in ashes. There you go. That's called a bad day. And then we got Peter. Let's just take, I love Peter. See, I kind of identify with Peter. I'm kind of the bull in the china cabinet. I say the wrong thing to the wrong person. But he's got so much zeal. I'd rather be on fire. God will never spit me out because I'm neutral. But on the when it comes down to the blast, we all have our fissures in our cracks in who we are, and I don't care who you are. That we all got our stuff. And Peter thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. I'm not going to, those all guys, they may fall, but I'm going to stand by you. And you know, Jesus, who knows it all, turns around and says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you. There it is again. That he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed. I just want to point out to you, Jesus is always our priest first. He's coming as a king, but right now he is priest first. And I pray that your faith may not fail. There it is, faith. And when you have turned, strengthen your brothers, Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And Jesus looks him straight in the face and says, Peter, the rooster will not crow today before you've denied me three times. We all know the end of that story. He locks eyes with Jesus as he's telling a little girl, I never knew him. And he locks Jesus, shame enters. Condemnation, failure, there we are. We can all have an opinion about what happened on that day, but I'm telling you, Satan himself came against him. We have not stood against that rage. Job stood against that rage, and it did not work out well for him. Why didn't Jesus just say, nope, can't do it. Nope, you can't sift him. Why was it not the Lord saying, all right, you've already killed his family, taken everything he has. That's enough. Not on day one. But it was, he didn't stay his hand till much later. How do we stand in faith when we have to wait for the time that Jesus lifts his hand and says enough? First of all, Jesus is and God are out of time. So it's our perspective of time, first of all. Because he's above time, he made time, he's out of it. He doesn't have a watch. So we have to say that's a precedence. But what are you after, God? What are you after in faith that you're trying to build in us in the middle of the storm, in the middle of unbelievable pressure? Desperation, desperate times. Let me tell you, those two people were desperate. The Bible is full of people desperately fighting to get through their season of trial. My sister, who's a doctor, turns around and says, you know, everybody believes in God when they're in the emergency room. But Jesus doesn't want to be your Santa Claus just to fix it. He that's not who he is. It's never who he intended to be. We want to microwave Jesus. Okay, this is happening to me. Fix it now. He just doesn't operate that way. I look at it kind of like marriage. We stand and declare before God, from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health, to love until and to cherish till death we part. This is my solemn vow. Well, I'm just going to point out to you, I'm pretty sure 90% of the first getting to know somebody in the first year is complete infatuation. Yeah. Has nothing to do with love. Yeah. Gary's and I's first fight was which way the toilet paper rolled. Because I was a forward, he was a back. We fought over that. You know, 40 some years later, I'm just grateful somebody put it on. It so doesn't matter. See, he builds us. He builds us in those things. So, Gary, in the midst of what life can throw at you, Gary had overcome being an alcoholic and drug addict. That took a trial. That took fighting through. But that was not his greatest triumph. I had an accident. I was in a wheelchair, couldn't move half my body. And Gary had to rise up. Did he do it well? Not so much. But God doesn't, when he gives us these really hard, terrible things, none of us have the tools to manage that. We don't have it. He had to take care of me, all the bills that produced, the lawsuit that created, and two little kids. Because I couldn't. And I had always taken care of that end of things. The man had never put the dishes in the dishwasher. The boys still laugh about the fact that he put Dawn dishwashing liquid in the dishwasher. And bubbles flowed out throughout the whole house. We have to. We have to do those things. We have to learn to navigate under pressure. Yeah. We don't know what it's like to stand under pressure. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to use my arm again. I had to learn how to drive again. Everything became new. And in the midst of that, my body's immune system went haywire and decided that it would kill me. 25 years later, for the first time, I'm in remission. That's called standing under pressure. That's called doing it every day. When you had to face getting up in wrenching pain and unbelievable sickness and have to face and do it again and believe. That is not an easy conversation, ever. Here's the kicker. Count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Why pressure? Why the trial to build steadfast faith? Why? Why do you have to crush and kill us in order for us to find you? What is it, God, that you want? Because we haven't figured this out. And then he says, you're in need of endurance. Endurance. I understand endurance. I understand what it's like if you've ever been that sick and struggled with sickness. You understand endurance. And you understand all the accusations that come with that level of sickness. It wasn't that I didn't have faith. Sarah was told, there's a child coming. And she waited 25 years for that child to show up. She tried to help God. There's a crack in our armor. We always have it. We try to fix it. We try to make it happen. You can't do some things until God decides it's time. You have to stand and build the faith that it takes to do that. That is not an easy trek. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we all know that, we've been saved, we've been cleansed, we have peace through God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access to faith. We've obtained access, doesn't mean we have it yet. By faith into this grace which we stand, then we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Oh! Knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he's been given us. That's a hard word. And we skip over those passages because they aren't pretty. That means he doesn't fix it right away. That means we have to find faith when we don't have any. That means we have to dig for endurance to stand still in faith. Maybe we're not moving forward, but just to stand and not crush under the weight. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, 5 through 10, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in affliction, hardship, calamity, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. By truthful speech and the power of God. With weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor. Through slander and praise. We are treated as imposters, yet we are true. As unknown, yes, yet, but known. As dying and beholding, we live as punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. Do you think they understood faith? Do you think they understood endurance? They suffered. What is it about God that there has to be suffering and affliction and accusation and death before resurrection? What are you asking, God? What are you looking for? Jesus on the cross even says, my God, he doesn't call him Father. He calls him God. What are you doing? And in Matthew 27:46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Elohim, and I'm going to leave the rest because it's in Jewish. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus, under the weight of the world's pressure, the weight of the sin of the world, having been beaten and tortured and nailed and dying, he caved for a moment. And then in Luke 23:46, he says, Father, he's back. His faith has come back. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are some trials and pressures that the world will never fix. Doctors maybe can't fix. Financial banks can't fix. It takes the sovereign hand of God. And so we have to endure until he moves his hand. And we have to find the faith in the midst of that. See, what has really driven me is the empty chairs here. It takes courage. Trust me, I know. 25 years, I can't tell you how many people prayed for me, fought for me. My husband warred for me every day. And God's hand didn't move, but it did move. Because he promised. I had to wait for that time. It's here. But 25 years of suffering is a long time to wait and stand. But it's not okay. It's not okay to sit suffering without each other. It's never okay. And it takes terrible amount of courage to come up and sit again in front of the Lord and say, I'm here again. I believe. I believe. I believe. And in the atmosphere of his presence, anything is possible. Absolutely anything is possible. And you don't sit there alone. You sit there in a room of people that are contending for you and fighting for you, believing for you. Alan Hood does this a great way. We have to reengage our faith. We have to call upon our own deliverance. First of all, don't draw back and give up. We cannot give up in the midst of that level of trial. You want to, and there are days when you're this close to the end. You want to give up because it's hard, and it's not just a little hard, it's really hard. But we can't give up. And then there's the let's stay faithful. But we become resigned in our spirit. This is the way it is. I confess I got there. Wasn't that I didn't believe God couldn't. It's just maybe that wasn't my story. That in heaven, I know there is no sickness, that maybe that's where that happened. But that's resigning. That's giving in. And we have to endure with faith. And that is a hard road to walk when it's long. The Lord never, ever, ever left me. Never left me. But it's hard to look in his face. And I think that's why his face was always gentle and kind to me. His eyes were always soft. And now there's fire. It's like, well, now that I'm better, there's fire. I don't know what's next, but there's fire. I don't know how to engage the man of fire. I don't know what to do with that. I've not walked in that place for 25 years. I don't know how to do that. So I'm learning a whole new way of being. Don't lump someone's season without considering the sum of its parts. You don't know the principality that came against that person. You don't know. I remember Pastor Charlie talking about Jesus walking through the wall. The very next thing is a demon comes to kill him. He ends up in the crazy house. That's an attack from the enemy to steal what God has done. And what he will do in the future, if he can kill it as a baby, let's do that. We have to see each other in the midst of the trial through Jesus' eyes, gentle, kind. And we have to see ourselves that way. We have to see how he sees us in the middle of the trial. Because we see ourselves as a failure, that we just can't get enough faith together, that I can't tell you how many times somebody said to me, you just don't have enough faith. And you know their heart is in the place for you to be healed. And that's the only answer they can come up with in the midst of this void of God not moving. So we have to be gentle with them. Be gentle with people. And I just have to share this. I have a lot of hardware in my ankle, and the screws are like this far from the skin, and people had this thing about fervently grabbing that, and you're just like, God, I'm going to be crippled by the time they're done. I'm going to be bleeding. But their heart, you know, you just let them because their heart is so precious. It's just, you know, then you limp away worse than you got there. We have to be gentle. We just have to be gentle. We need to contend for one another. Oh my gosh, it's not okay. It's just not okay. And when my faith combines with your faith, with your faith, with your faith, there is faith in the room. There's more faith than we can hold on to. And Jesus is motivated by our faith. The Father is looking for faith because it's impossible to please him. So let's not do it alone. Let's not do it alone. It's not okay that someone is still suffering. It's not okay. So we will fight together. We will lock arms together with each other. When we worship and somebody has the courage to come sit in this chair again, we lock our faith with them. And even when they can't even get to the chair, because there can be shame with a failure. It doesn't matter what the failure is. Jesus sees them all as the same. And the enemy takes our little cracks and he puts his elbow in there and he opens it up till it's a fissure. and then we're in the valley and can't see our way up. But we, as brothers, reach down and we lift. That is who we are. That is who we're called to be. We're to believe for every single person's healing, deliverance, wholeness, salvation. We are to believe for it all. We will have faith. When Jesus restored you, when and how it happens, I just need to tell you, you don't get a vote. I would really like to say, although Alan Hood makes a comment that Bob Jones, he went to Bob Jones and asked him to pray for him because he heard that people that were suffering and he had an immune system that went crazy. And he said, you know, he asked him, would you pray for me that, you know, I would get healed? And Bob Jones says, nah, I'm not going to do that religious thing. Please do the religious thing. Come on. But he says, no, your weeping is enough. It gets the witchcraft out of your eyes. Every curse, every place where the enemy has come in, your weeping gets the witchcraft out of your eyes. The Lord sees your tears, every single one. He hears your cry. He hears in Psalm 107, they mess up, they cry out, God delivers. They mess up, they cry out, God delivers. They mess up, they cry out, God delivers, over and over and over. He hears the cries of his children. What parent hasn't heard their child weeping and it brought your heart to them? He is a good father. He's a good father. So don't be discouraged if God hasn't moved just yet. He will move because that is who he is. It is who he is. And you're in a room where you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I don't care what it is. You're not alone. We are the body of Christ. If we're a body, we're all in it together. So as one suffers, we all suffer. So it's not okay. It's no longer okay. But in your trial, I can stand looking backwards. I'm older than dirt, so I can look backwards. I can see every place the Lord met me. And he met me with power. He may not have fixed the moment, but I know who he is. Nothing will ever move me off that dime because he has been with me in the weeping, in the dark, alone. And he's with you. And nothing will ever move me. They could come up to me and say, I will give you the entire world. I will give you everything your desire is. And nothing is as valuable as him. Nothing. And I know who he is because of that trial, because of many trials. He is so deep within me that you can't cut it out. Another trial won't cut it out. It will only make it go deeper. It will only push it down even further. If you're in the middle of a trial that's long and you're in need of endurance and long suffering, God has something amazing building in you. Do not see it as a condemnation. See it as a victory. We are invited into something remarkable. when he pushes us at that level. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.